Thank you so much, Diana Lillian. It was a blessing. It was a great song. I really like Asian type of music. It's just special for, especially for me in Europe. We're used with some different type of music. But then, actually, one of my favorite instruments is a Chinese instrument, the erhu. I don't know if really nice, really nice. What a privilege it is to be with you together this morning. And it's just coming to the end of almost a year since I've been in this church. Well, at least academically speaking, I counted, I think, at least 7 months that have passed by. I think my first Sunday here was 20-something October, and now it's 20-something May already, and what a blessing it has been. I'm really thankful whenever I talk about you to others, to my family back home, and also to people that I know. I always, I'm always thankful for the blessing that your church has been to me. I'm really blessed to be here, and thank you for your warmth, for your support in ministry. It all means a lot. So I really pray that God will continue to bless the work that we do here, and the summer, the vacation Bible school, and everything that comes after that. We just put in God's hands, and we trust Him for fruits in that. I would also like to express as well my condolences for Brother Lauren and for the Olsen family. I can't imagine how it is to be separated for a while from a brother. I have a brother as well. But we do look ahead with hope, the hope that we find in our Lord's resurrection and in His promise that where He is, we will be also. So I would like to encourage you with that. In a matter of fact, the passage that we're going to look today, it is, in some ways, of course, I didn't know, I couldn't have planned this, but I really hope it will be an encouragement for the Olsen family, but also for all of us who have gone through or are going through times in which life doesn't happen the way we thought it will, in which hopes are not fulfilled. Pastor Robert has been talking about hope to us for the past weeks, and I just was reminded about this this story in Luke, and I would just like to share a few thoughts with you from it. In the same time, I do ask for your support in prayer. Please continue to pray for me whenever you remember as I go home. It's gonna be, I'm looking forward to it, to a blessed time of rest and recharging, in the same time of more medical checkups that I need to do there, and surgery, hernia surgery that I need to do. So we're kind of in the process of scheduling everything and see how everything will work out. But thank you very much for your prayers. I trust that whenever you will remember, you will mention me as well in your prayers to the Lord. I believe that coming to Chicago was definitely a new experience for me. One of the first things that I noticed, one of the first differences compared to my home city back home, is how huge Chicago is compared to my home. As I think about it, back home in my city, I can drive east to west or north to south, and I can picture in my mind where the city ends. I know its boundaries. But here is like I drive for hours, especially when traffic is bad, and I'm still in Chicago. It's still one of the Chicago borders. It can be overwhelming sometimes when I think about it. I have one former student was giving his testimony on our seminary chapel, and he said, you know, I was always a village type of guy, you know, a farm and everything. I worked the land with my parents, and I came here to Chicago, and I'm You know, I don't even know where I am. It's like I'm lost amongst all these people. And I thought the same way, to be honest. One of the most helpful tools that I used since coming to Chicago was my GPS, for sure. Without my GPS, I couldn't have found my way around the city or outside it. I remember it was, I think, my third week after I arrived in Chicago, and I was going to visit a Romanian church for the first time then, so I didn't have a functional phone yet. I just had my laptop, you know, Google Maps, and just, you know, the day before I was typing on my laptop, writing down on a sheet of paper some directions, how to go, where to go. I think it was 20-something or 30-something stops that I needed to count while on the bus. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to patiently count my stops and I'll be fine. Well, it was not the best idea, as I was about to soon find out. In Europe, usually buses stop at every stop, you know, no matter if there's a need for that or not. Well, here they only stop at request. So I didn't know that. It was very possible that my bus would not stop on all the 30-something stops that I had on my list. But in the same time, as right before going into the bus, I just ran into this new friend from Moody, a colleague, and we started talking. So for sure, my counting plan was soon to be a failure. I was, you know, I soon lost my count, and I soon lost myself. I was in a bus, not knowing where I'm going, and I just ended up going to my colleague's church that Sunday. She knew where she was going, so that was good. But I think that one of the most helpful things with the GPS is not only that, you know, it gives you the best route to get to your destination. The GPS always knows how to work its way around with traffic and everything. But it's also the fact that if by accident you take a wrong turn, if something happens on the way and you just deviate from your initial track, the GPS has this amazing feature, right? All of a sudden it says recalculating or rerouting, and it just finds an alternate way to bring you back on track so you are sure you can reach your destination. It's almost you can't go wrong with the GPS. Sometimes it happens, but not too often. As I thought about it and of my experience in Chicago so far, I think we would all wish to have a GPS not only for our traveling needs, but also for our life's unexpected turns. Isn't that right? Sometimes life looks like a bus, like being in a bus and not knowing where you're going. Our initial plan of counting the stops, of having everything figured out or under control, just proves itself to be futile sometimes. We end up in places we never expected to be, we were not prepared for, or wish we would not be in. And sometimes, or most of the times, life doesn't reroute itself as easily as driving a car. It is in those moments that fear starts to crawl in, and the sadness of what could have been just gets mixed with the hopelessness of what it actually is. What do we do when we hope for peace for ourselves and our children, and we realize the world around us seems to be in a continuous cycle of war? What do we do when we hope for perfect marriages, but we are soon struck by each other's brokenness? What do we do when we hope for good health, but we are suddenly confronted with a severe illness? What do we do when we hope to have new beginnings, but we realize our past hurts still hold us back on the inside? What do we do when we realize life doesn't always go the way we thought it will? One of my colleagues just recently, I think about 2 or 3 days ago, posted on her Facebook profile this quote from John Piper, and it says, "Occasionally, weep deeply over the life it would be. Grieve the losses, then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life you have." I don't really know her story. We just served for a relatively short amount of time in the seminary chapel together, but I did notice that she is a young single mother, and most likely she's younger than me. In August last year, one of the most well-known Christian apologists of our time, again, he's in his 30s, was a former Muslim and now he's a Christian. Maybe you've heard about him, Nabil Qureshi. He found out he has advanced stomach cancer. He worked together with Ravi Zacharias, and just an incredible testimony of God in the Muslim context, of Christ in the Muslim context. He wrote books. I encourage you to, if you find them, to buy them and read them. Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, or Answering Jihad, or No God But One. He just went from speaking to crowds of thousands of people to now having to deal with this unexpected turn in his life, stage 4 stomach cancer. I wrote here what he wrote in his Facebook page last August when he found out the news. He said, "This is an announcement that I never expected to make, but God in his infinite and sovereign wisdom has chosen me for this refining, and I pray he will be glorified through my body and my spirit. My family and I have received the news that I have advanced stomach cancer and the clinical prognosis is quite grim." Later he says, "In the past few days, my spirits have soared and sank as I pursue the Lord's will and consider what the future might look like. But never once," he continues, "have I doubted this, that Jesus is Lord. His blood has paid my ransom, and by his wounds I am healed." His journey with this illness continues even now. He, I think, weekly updates with a video, like short video clips about his situation. And whenever you remember him, please pray for him. He's a young man that God has used in special ways, especially in the Muslim context. But aren't their stories our stories sometimes? Have you ever been there where you had to cry your losses to get up once again, wipe your tears, and embrace the life as you have it? Not the life that you hoped it would be. Have you ever been there where your spirits have soared and sank because life took an unexpected turn and now it looks nothing like you've hoped for before? Our passage this morning talks about two men for whom life indeed did not look as they hoped it will. The past 3 days have been intense for them, and as they walk to Emmaus, a village close to Jerusalem, they just try to talk their way through the tumult of events that just happened. They seem to know where they're going, but in fact, they rather seem lost. If you would look at their faces through Luke's eyes, you would see the sadness. If you would look at their hearts through Jesus' eyes, you would see hopelessness. But something is about to happen, and their way will be rooted from hopelessness back to Jerusalem. So please open with me in Luke 24. I will just read this story. I'm pretty sure it is well known to you, but just as a reminder of how this story goes. Luke 24, verses 13. "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Our dear Father, as we will spend a few more minutes into your word, we ask that you will open our eyes, just as you opened the eyes of these disciples. We ask that you will interpret the scriptures to us, so that we might understand them. We thank you, and we ask all these things in our Lord's name. Amen.